Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
A lot of excitement, and need to point this out. When news broke that the Bears came to terms or an agreement with Ben Johnson to be their next head coach, it was 43 years to the day that the Bears hired Mike Ditka. Just saying.
I don't believe in living in the past. I think the past is for cowards. You live in the past, you die in the past.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying there is a historical symmetry that the most optimistic of Bears fans would want to apply to January 20th. Maybe the Bears hire championship-winning coaches on January 20th.
Shut up.
Every 43 years.
Every 43 years.
Go Bears!
Well, I think that it's fun to look at the day in history.
I'm sorry. That seems like a stretch, frankly. Oh, you know, on this day in 2045.
It's better than being hired on the same day as Matt Eberflus or Mark Trestman or John Fox or Mr. Poo-Poo.
Oh, no.
You're the poo-pooer.
Never.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Mike, it is long overdue.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I need to show more enthusiasm for that wild coincidence.
Good morning, Mully. It's Friday. Apologizing. We made it. That's okay. Very full week of emotion and enthusiasm.
Yeah, when you hear the voice of Coach Ditka, and I remember that night, the one where he screamed, "Go Bears!"
It was so cold.
And you hear the cold in George's voice.
Was that George?
That was George.
That was a couple octaves off.
Yeah.
But I do remember that night. Those are good memories, most of them, and we mark the end of a really eventful week the right way today. We're talking to Ben Johnson at 9 o'clock. It's exciting. First appearance on The Score.
Yeah, thrilling.
It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a fun day. It's been a great week.
Yeah, we've had a really fun week. We really have. It's been a great week. Think about it. I can't even believe it started with that Notre Dame
playing Ohio State. That seems like years ago.
I mean, bringing me down.
I mean, that's when Notre Dame had an offensive line.
That's back when they did. Yes. That was a tough one.
Have you seen all the guys leaving Notre
Dame?
Yeah,
I know. Wow. I wonder what's going on there.
But I think it's time, you know, just they've got a lot of players and they got both those guys that left.
It's a sign of the times.
Would have been even
everybody's going to look out for a better situation for themselves.
Were starters in 23, would have been told they weren't starters, then ended up being starters due to injury. So maybe they felt like they weren't going to be able to keep the
job. You empower the student-athlete, so to speak, if you want to still call them student-athletes. You empower college football players, and this is a part of the thing you deal with. And so
the worst one is the center, because that guy's he's always fired up. And I watched some video of him screaming at people that George McCaskey would put on the cutting room floor, quite frankly, Dave.
Yeah, he would not like that. So it's going to be a fun day today. Ben Johnson, 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Chris Getz, White Sox general manager, 8:40. And in between, talk about a lot of other things. How about the Cubs being in the news with a potential trade? We'll talk about Ryan Pressly.
How about that?
I don't know how to feel about that. Dustin can help figure it out, navigate that. Because Ryan Pressly as a closer, I'm looking at his baseball reference numbers, and he wasn't closing much of anything last year. Because he only had four saves.
He was hurt.
He was injured. And 35 years old.
I thought he was 36, or he'll be 36.
Coming off an injury. I don't know how to feel about that, Molly.
He's making $14 million, which he's under contract for that for 1 year, which is nice.
Good. Yeah.
Has a no-trade clause.
He does. My initial thought is if you're going to bring in another ex-Astro, you might want to make it the third baseman.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good thought. But I thought we had decided that Matt Shaw, this is about him and not about you.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. It's a lot of time between now and spring training. Sox Fest this weekend.
Yes! They can't wait to get
at the Rimowa Theater.
And we're going to talk to Chris Getz.
Yes.
At 8:40 this morning.
They're making the rounds. Yeah, Chris Getz excited.
Always fun.
I think you saw MLB Pipeline came out with their new list, and they have two left-handers. Their top two left-handers in the organization are atop that list. Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith.
Yes.
It's exciting times to be a young pitcher in the Sox organization.
We'll get into it, but I just don't know what to make about all of the pitchers that are there now. Who will be the opening day starter? Can I ask that of Chris Getz?
He won't tell you.
And will they trade that guy? Will it be a surprise homegrown player?
That's not a crazy question as much as we chuckle at the idea of it. Martin Perez, for example.
There you go.
Just signed this year, one-year deal. Lefty, replaces Crochet in the rotation. Maybe he's your opening day starter. Maybe he's traded on July 30th.
Doesn't have to be someone like Cannon. Like someone that's been here that they drafted that they want, you know.
Cannon, Drew Thorpe, somebody like that.
Well, Drew
somebody
Thorpe is
young.
From out of town.
Nah, Drew Cannon's Thorpe's part of this.
I know, but they traded for him.
So?
I'm just saying.
That's good.
It's a guy that they
put
developed.
Put on display what you have done as a general manager in the midst of a rebuild.
Okay.
Looking forward to talking to him again. Chris Getz making the rounds, and they're. I think muted excitement. They're coming out. They know what they're in the midst of on the south side.
Did you see? I did not wear my I don't like our team shirt that Shane gifted me.
I think you want congratulations for that.
I didn't do it.
Want to be congratulated for not wearing something that would be
Jerry would throw me out of
offensive and unprofessional when you have the gentleman
like team.
I have a T-shirt that says that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would like to know how much he likes this team. I know he likes the team on the way, but
I think that's a good conversation starter.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start it that way.
Yeah, that's better than wearing the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Although it is a favored possession. And, you know, I was thinking about
you should wear it to the Sox convention.
Well, that's what the problem is.
Show up at the Rimowa Theater.
Yeah, then I get thrown out. And these days.
Now, that would be a fun story.
Yeah, Mully.
That would be a fun headline. Mully thrown out of Sox Fest.
Well, just for wearing a T-shirt, ironically.
Radio host escorted out of Sox Fest. And somebody think, well, which radio host is most likely to be escorted out of Sox Fest?
Radio host puts up a fight while being thrown out of. Radio host injured. all being thrown out on his ear.
This is a big
way it would go
this
down.
This is a big weekend. So we got Sox Fest and then the NFL playoffs on Sunday. I've heard it described, obviously every year we debate this, if it's the best day of the football season. I always push back at that a little bit because there's only two games.
I think last week is really the good one. There's really good games usually in the divisional round. But, yeah, it is. There's not enough games. There's only two, and it's the end of the season, and you have that in mind. I really love the idea of the Chiefs and the Bills. Just theoretically, fantastic idea to have those two teams
that
play
matchup
again.
I'm looking forward to our extra points, see who's picking whom.
Yes, yes.
I wonder what Dustin's doing, we'll looking at the lines, that. Who he's kind of leaning toward.
What, let me ask you a question that you may not know the answer to. How injured is Jalen Hurts?
I don't think we know. I think they've done a nice job all week of
hiding it,
keeping us guessing. And I think we have to assume that he's compromised.
Okay.
And I also think we have to assume that he's savvy enough to find a way to make that less of an issue than most quarterbacks might. He's a tough competitor. I don't need to sell you on Jalen Hurts.
No. But he's now been hurt for 2 years, if you really look at him. It's just
what's your point? Is he breaking down?
Yes. Isn't he?
Is the style of play unsustainable then?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, it's a really good question to ask with Jaden Daniels on the opposite side of the field this week, because all the things that Jaden Daniels has accomplished, you do wonder, with his body so slight, is his style sustainable? He's a guy that does as much damage, I won't say as much damage with his legs.
Oh, he does a lot.
But Jaden Daniels is special because of the way that he improvises and gets down the field in a hurry, and you wonder some of the hits he takes. Wow.
I agree. I just wonder.
Jalen Carter may snap him like a twig.
Well,
I mean,
you know, the Jalen Carter one that was unbelievable is when he gets the quarterback and he gives him like this bear hug, and you're just like, don't throw him, don't throw him. And he doesn't throw him. But the idea that King Kong is about to he could have taken him, turned him around, thrown a knee up, and dropped him like a wrestling move.
No doubt about it.
Could be the end of time.
It could be. And that's
wow,
the fear.
Is that scary?
That's the fear this weekend every Commander fan has.
He is a monster.
Yeah. He is really a player already. Yeah. Already the best or one of the best defensive tackles,
no question,
in the NFL. Chris Jones
is strong.
Jalen Carter,
Chris Jones is, well, because of the Super Bowls and because he's the guy that does it at the big moments. It's really a big deal. But I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to these games.
Which you think that Ben Johnson would rather have in next year's draft at the 10th spot? A dominant defensive lineman or a dominant offensive lineman?
A dominant running back.
Don't do that.
I'm making fun of it.
Don't say
I
that.
Can have my fun. I think you got to go with the O-line.
Yeah, I think so.
But, honestly, David, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to move up three spots to ensure you get a tackle?
One
of the two best tackles.
I think that this is the off-season of unconventional
thinking
moves and thinking. Because this is the winter or off season of doing the opposite.
This is the winter of our content. It's really
weird. It is. It's a very strange thing, and that's a great way to put it. I was just going to say that. This is the winter of our content. The Bears are doing things that make you nod. Yes, I understand that. That is very strange.
It is.
So if they decide to move up, you're talking about the LSU tackle probably, right?
Yes.
And so if they do that, in the draft, we got plenty of time to break it down. I think you kind of look at it and say, all right, we'll see where this goes.
So there's a really fun story going on right now in the NFL with Liam Cohen, the woulda, coulda, shoulda been offensive coordinator of the Bears, who goes to Tampa, has a great season as their offensive coordinator, and he goes down to Jacksonville to interview, or he's going to Jacksonville to interview, and you know, decides he can't work with Trent Baalke, so he pulls out of that job. And there's Shad Khan, you know, University of Illinois grad, made good. He's kind of, I cannot hire anyone. How can I not hire a coach? Well, I got to get rid of the general manager. So he fires Trent Baalke. And then, meanwhile, after pulling out of the competition down there, he says that Liam Cohen has this 3-year highest paid offensive coordinator in the league deal from Tampa that he's accepting, only he doesn't sign it. And they're like, hey, where is he? We got to get him in here to sign it. Oh, he's back in Jacksonville negotiating for that job now that Balke's gone.
It's a tough spot.
And they said, I heard this, they said, they're going to have to pay him Ben Johnson money.
That's a term now.
How about that?
Ben Johnson money. So Liam Cohen is a $13 million a year coach?
Apparently he's going to make more than Dan Campbell. That's the new bar.
That's kind of absurd.
That was a joke. No, they're saying, I literally heard a line which was, he's going to need Ben Johnson money to take that job.
Yeah, well, Shad Khan has it, so I don't think anybody's going to cry poor over that.
Right.
I just find the way that that's been handled
It's bizarre.
Very borderline unprofessional.
They fired Peterson, what is it now, 18 days ago or something? It's a while. They're heading toward the third week. And they kept the general manager and then fired him.
I know that the Jacksonville Jaguars are complicit in this as well.
Yes.
But I also look at a guy like Liam Cohen. If you are turning your operation over to somebody who has been as indecisive as he appears to have been, that doesn't necessarily fill you with a lot of
Tampa
confidence either.
Peeved with him. Unhappy.
I would be too.
With the fact that he accepted their offensive coordinator job and the big extension.
You look at it from their perspective.
Never signed it.
They have a prized play caller, offensive coordinator, and they give permission, or they allow him to talk to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He comes back and says, well, I would like to maybe take that job, but I will stay if you grant me this. Okay, we'll grant you this. Then he says, well, great. And then they make a move, and Jacksonville comes back to him and makes him change his mind, persuades him to change his mind. Now, I understand he's a young man in a profession that is very difficult, and there's only 32 of those jobs. But I don't think he handled this week very well. I don't think he handled this crisis very well. So if you are hiring somebody and giving him Ben Johnson money after he handled the crisis in a way that maybe exposed how inexperienced he is, I don't think that's off to a good start.
Well, it depends on who he brings in as his GM, because apparently that means he's in total control. And I would imagine that one of the guys in the running
could be guy a couple years ago was calling plays for Kentucky.
Can Ian Cunningham walk out of a meeting at Hallis Hall and maybe accept?
I don't know. You're just making that up. You haven't seen his name.
No,
have
I'm
you?
Totally having fun with
yeah.
it. I'm making that up, and it was just a joke.
Well, I'm telling you what I think. If I were the Jacksonville Jaguars, I would be very sketchy about a guy who has been as flighty as Ian Cohen appears to have been.
I don't think that's flighty. I think it's a guy that was negotiating in a strong way. Hey, I want control of the whole team. And they're like, well, we got Trent Baalke here. You can work with him. You guys will be collaborating. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go back to Tampa. So they say, all right, he's gone. I don't think he's... I think you could look at it in a different way, that he's going to take over all the power there, you know?
Possibly, but if that were the case, why would Liam Cohen then give a commitment to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after interviewing with the Jaguars?
He never signed it.
Bingo! That's a technicality.
No, but he's using that as a he's using the team he works at that just wanted to make him the most highly paid coordinator to get the job he wants, which is Jacksonville.
Good for him.
The power.
You know, good for him. Career moves are very personal, and he can make the best of his situation. Great, but I just think he 2 years ago he's handling Kentucky's game plan against Auburn, and now he's powerful where they're going to give him Ben Johnson money to coach and lead the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a quick ascension for a guy who.
Thank you for using that turn of phrase.
It 39.
Really, it appeals to me. Ben Johnson money is something we should put on a T-shirt too, right?
Listen, everybody should ask for Ben Johnson money at the next contract negotiation.
I want Ben Johnson
money. I want Ben Johnson money.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it.
That's our Jacksonville Jaguars segment for the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, it's a big NFL story.
No, it's an NFL story. It's probably the lead story in the NFL before you
get to the championship. Because of the way it was handled.
Because it was mishandled.
By both sides.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
You are absolutely right.
You can
right.
criticize Shad Khan, and you're right. I just think that it's fair game to look at Liam Cohen and say, not that he's the whiz kid who's going to save the Jaguars, but like he could have handled things a little bit better
right.
as it appears.
You're right. But let's see how it ends up. If he gets everything he wants and he's taken professional football in Florida to the brink of a riot, for God's sake, if those two teams play, keep them apart.
The one thing that I remember about Liam Cohen, the last thing, because he was a candidate for the yes. Bears offensive coordinator
yes.
job last offseason, and I don't know why this stuck in my mind, but I think he was born in Rhode Island.
Oh, really?
Yes, and you don't see many Rhode Island natives coaching in the NFL that I'm aware of. I don't know many Rhode Island natives, period.
Huh.
It's kind of a little trivia thing. You know, some things just stick with you.
Did he grow up in Rhode Island?
I think he did.
You know,
not a big football state.
I know that this is, I'm not going to waste our time with Ben Johnson on this, but he was born in Charleston, South Carolina, and grew up in North Carolina
mm-hmm.
and went to high school in North Carolina and played football at North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, do you know a lot of Charleston football coaches?
No.
Or would you consider him more of a Carolina guy?
He's a Carolina guy.
Okay.
I think he's probably somebody who grew up in North Carolina, so he's more of a North Carolinian.
Can you think of another North Carolinian who was born elsewhere but grew up there?
I cannot think of one, but
what
I do.
What about Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who
born in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
Born in
As
Brooklyn.
As a baby, they yeah. moved to Wilmington.
And that was the last North Carolina product that came to Chicago and saved the day. Oh, another Tar Heel savior.
Wow, why are you being so mean?
I'm not. That's a really good way to look at it.
Jacoby!
Kobe White?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good segue to the Bulls. He didn't play last night.
No,
he's got
he
a bone bruise. Now you can't trade him.
Explain to me. Oh, you are so mean.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah. Explain to me how Steph Curry is questionable and can't play and isn't going to play, and then all of a sudden Kobe's out and Steph is playing.
That tells me that Steph Curry had a really good afternoon nap.
Because
during the shoot-around,
sleep is a superpower.
Exactly right. During the shoot-around, he probably felt like he wasn't ready to go, whatever. Then he got a little rest, and he's Steph Curry. You get the adrenaline going, and it's just muscle memory. He just shoots the ball, and it goes in. So that was a rough one for the Bulls. You look at that game, and then it just is escalated, and bad became worse in a hurry.
Yeah.
And they lose 131-106.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's so bad that you don't stay up for that one.
I did not stay up for that one, but yeah. We missed Billy Donovan calling a timeout, lighting his team up late in the game after it was decided, and he was ticked off post-game, apparently, based on reports. And you wonder where this all is headed. The Bulls are not playing good basketball. The trade deadline is less than 2 weeks away, and things seem to be unraveling.
Can I ask if you believe in any way that those two facts are connected?
I think it's got to be difficult to operate as a professional in an environment that is as unsure about what the direction is.
Tenuous.
Yeah, it's a great word for it.
Yeah.
It's tenuous. There's some uncertainty. And all year, the question hasn't necessarily been, what do we need to do to get to that next step to be a playoff contender? The question is, what is this organization going to do to determine the path of the next several years?
Yes.
And in that environment, that it's a model of instability. That's not good. So you've got 2 weeks until the deadline. They're coming home. They've got the Sixers tomorrow night. DJ Moore will be there in the Odyssey suite, and then we'll see what happens.
How about DJ going? Yeah. Mitch, that was a fun thing yesterday. We're talking to DJ, and Mitch wants to know if he wants to go to the Bulls game. He can sit in the box.
And DJ said yes.
Oh, he's delighted.
And then he followed up.
Yeah,
how about that?
I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He was excited.
So it almost makes it, in DJ Moore's mind, probably worth it coming back from Florida and Disney World for the press conference, and now he's going to a Bulls game.
Do you like that he clarified that he had been in Disney World, not land, and that they came home and he went to the thing?
I thought it was very interesting because he made a point to make sure it was factually correct.
Yes.
And he didn't want him to be embellished into – he stopped his vacation and dropped everything.
And I thought that was a good part of the story.
Because Caleb Williams said so.
Yeah, Caleb
I think Caleb
said
Williams
that.
Said, well, we all came in.
We
and
all came in.
This is how important it is
DJ
to us.
DJ was in Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he said Disneyland because he was in Disney
Once
World.
Again, the quarterback and the wide receiver talking about different routes.
Well, I think he was actually in the Disneyland, France, or wherever. Was he?
I went to Disney World. With their family, but we had got back like a few days before the interview. Well, the
hiring.
We just had this, the hire. Yeah,
can he and Caleb get on the same page?
That is very funny. that is a very funny story. That's a funny take on it. Kudos to DJ for clarifying.
Yes, I know.
That. Why not accept the myth, the mythology, the Paul Bunyan style?
Some of us still care about facts.
Effort to come back.
Some of us still care about facts. Facts matter.
DJ's one of them.
Yes, good for him.
Good. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, so he's going to have a good time at the Bulls game. Hawks play tonight. Tampa Bay Lightning. A lot of stuff.
They're all fired up for that one.
Yeah, I like the Lightning. Yeah. I like the way they play. I like their coach.
Yeah.
They're without Stamkos. Brandon Hagel comes back to town, symbol of a bad trade for the Hawks. Man,
yeah, that's something.
So yeah, fun weekend ahead.
A lot of that.
We got a big show ahead, though.
We have a huge show. We're nervous as hell. It's going to be so good.
I know. We got Grody at 7:25.
Oh my God! They better bring in a professional
Mark
to
Grody.
Talk to him. What? All right, we got the Pick Six next. 312-644-6767. We'll be getting your calls later, and we're going to have some fun with all the big stories of the day. Mully and Haw on the Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How closely are you watching the building of the Ben Johnson coaching staff to request for guys like the Rams offensive coordinator, defensive back, Deontay Jones, or the DC do much for you? What would you prefer, a former NFL coach in one of these spots?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I thought we had to arrange that. I thought that the rumored coaching staff sounds better than this one. I look, you know, Deontay Jones is the DB coach in Minnesota, and he's worked with some pretty good people. And one of them is Brian Flores, who interviewed for this job. So I think when you, and he also, Jones had a, he was in Miami when the head coach, when Ben Johnson was there. So they have a previous relationship. So, you know, that sounds fine. I don't have any problems with it. Aubrey Pleasant, okay. I mean, anybody who's been within a sneeze of Sean McVay is a genius. We know that.
So even defensively?
Let's go. Whatever they want, whatever role you want. For
Does him. He have that kind of power that he influences
everything
and improves the defensive
he's
mentality?
He remembers every guy and will give you.
Been McVay'd?
He will tell you unbelievable things about the guy. McVay's incredible. He's incredible.
You love him.
And Ben Johnson might have a touch of the McVay genius to him.
First
right?
question. Can you remember the play you called at the beginning of the 2023 season?
He seemed like he could.
Yeah, I bet you.
I wouldn't be that shocked. Maybe that's how we start the interview. I would like them to get a coach with some experience in here. I would like them to hire people that you feel are going to do very well at what they do. I think getting an experienced staff in here, you've got time, I think is really important, and you should go through whomever it is you must go through.
Well, I am constantly hitting refresh on our Twitter account,
yes,
looking to see if there are any updates from guys like Brad Biggs or Ian Rappaport on this search. I mean, I was really impressed with the Rams' defense. I mean, they put pressure on the quarterback. There's no doubt about that. So that wouldn't be a terrible thing. You know, getting another guy inside the division. We heard Ben Johnson say that one of the reasons he took this job was because he wanted to stay in the division. He likes the opportunity to beat the flower 2 times a year, something that this Meatball Bears fan just gobbled up. So I am watching closely, and I would think that by the time we get back together on Monday, at least one of these two important jobs will be filled.
Yeah, I wonder where Dennis Allen is headed. He has a relationship with Dan Campbell. Now Dan Campbell needs a defensive coordinator. Is that going to be something he considers, or is he ticketed to Chicago? I know there are a lot of things they have to follow in terms of procedure, especially with coordinator searches, so this might be all part of that process as well. I wouldn't say that I'm dying with suspense over who the next coordinator is going to be. They got the main guy. I think the defense matters. If Dennis Allen is the guy, great. If it is Durante Jones from Minnesota and he's got a version of the Brian Flores defense, great. If it's Aubrey Pleasant from L.A., I don't know about that scheme. When you watch the Rams rush the passer, it's hard to get past Jared Verse and how he's game-wrecking as a rookie.
One of those, please.
Can you bring him, too? I don't know schematically if that's something that you're like, oh, wow, I have never seen that before. But it's all about the way the Bears, talent-wise, their defense has to stay healthy, and they will be fine. They need some help up front, and that's more of a roster thing than it is a scheme thing. So, yeah, I'm watching closely. We're all watching closely, but I don't know that I have the same sort of the suspense of the defensive coordinator. I thought we agreed it's going to be Dennis Allen until we find that he's not interested or something's hit a snag. I think that's the direction we're probably leaning.
That's a great question.
With Ben Johnson coming on with you guys, 9 a.m. this morning, 2 days of talking and a lot of showing some personality, including a Thursday appearance on the Colin Cowherd Show over on FS1. What is something you want to know when he joins us again right around 9 o'clock?
He was really good with Cowherd. And then did you see him with our pal Danny Parkins? Ben Johnson was having a little fun, even made the mock timeout signal on during the interview. And so he is enjoying this week. He should. He's got to be exhausted.
He has to. Can you imagine?
He's got to be exhausted.
When did they lose? Saturday night?
Yes.
So you lose Saturday night. This is one of the things I'd like to ask him. You lose Saturday night. I don't know how you go to bed.
That's one of the things I want to know from when he joins us at 9 o'clock. Like, what time did you get up this morning?
Yeah, exactly.
And how much sleep have you gotten? Because as we know from his mentor, John Shoup, sleep is the superpower.
That's right.
And I think I'm kind of curious about some of those things. Look, we all have interest in his offensive game plans and where does he get the trick plays and a lot of things. But I do also wonder about what John Shoup alluded to. At what point in time, or does he feel like right now, he's a father of three young kids. That work-life balance, how much more difficult is that going to be to achieve in Chicago as the head coach of an organization that is starving for success? And how much is he going to keep that in mind? I know that's not like a football question, but it is something that I think is important from the human aspect. And I think we're going to look at – we've seen Ben Johnson do a nice job of humanizing himself this week.
Yeah.
Relating to people in a way that maybe we didn't know he was capable. He's got to keep that up. The energy that must require to be this guy in this market, extraordinary. So I want to know if he's ready for that challenge.
Yeah, a lot of things that I would love to hear him talk about. How about, you know, Ben, his former boss, Dan Campbell now, his order at Starbucks is famous, right? He consumes more caffeine than even our boss Mitch Rosen does on a daily basis. So Dan Campbell has these, like, what is it? Is it the venti? Is venti the big one?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So he has like two ventis with like double shots, a certain thing. I wonder
black
what.
Eye and both.
There it is. so love to know what his order at Starbucks is. The other thing, and I know you guys are going to roll your eyes, and if you're watching on Twitch, get ready for the eye-rolling and bodily gestures from Mully and Haw here. I still want to know about the Jameson Williams play. I want to know if Dan Campbell ordered up the play. There you go, right on cue, David with the head down. If Dan Campbell ordered up the code red. I mean, that was unnecessary. So did Dan Campbell say, hey, Ben, give me one of your other trick plays here? Or does Ben call that play, and did Ben need clearance for that play? How does that all work, and will the Bears be as aggressive as the Lions were during their time together?
Well, that's one of the things I'm interested in, Dustin. Not that play, but the question of, you know, how does he feel about the fourth down stuff? How does he feel about, I mean, this guy.
How big of a gambler is he?
Was a math major.
Yeah.
So I want to know
right.
how his brain works. Is he like an accountant in his thinking?
Because that doesn't compute.
It doesn't compute. So how do you solve for X when the question is whether to go for it on fourth down? Does he inherently know that? Does he do the math in his head? Or does he have someone that's telling him, well, it's a 45%. Like, I'm just curious about how aggressive he feels he wants to be. I wonder about some of the cutesy stuff. You know, we joke about it a lot, but if you have a Penny Sewell, are you going to let him throw the ball? It's just, you know, hey, I don't know. Is Darnell Wright? Does he have an arm? Is he warming it up? Did he put a tire in the backyard so he could throw the ball through it a little bit to learn what the hell he's supposed to do? I'm just curious as to how he, you know, like, I just want to know when he talks about watching tape and getting the play caller's mentality down for the quarterback. What is that mentality? How does he look at the game?
How does a math major become so avant-garde?
Yeah, creativity. You know,
he's not supposed to be creative.
Can you invent a new number?
You asked him that question in like 15 years.
He's going to have the first jersey number of pi. 3.14.
Can you believe Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen will be facing off in the playoffs for the fourth time Sunday, which will leave them just one game behind the famous rivals of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? Mahomes and the Chiefs are 3-0 versus Allen in the Bills in the playoffs, but just 1-4 in the regular season. Reminder, both the games Sunday can be heard right here on The Score. The coverage beginning at 1, the kicks 2 and 5:30.
That wasn't part of the question, was it? That's pretty awesome. I got to be honest with you. These guys are still very young quarterbacks, right? Mahomes is what, 30 and 28, these two guys, something like that? The idea that they're one game away from Peyton and Brady, that seemed like it took a year and a half, right? Like those two guys were always at each other. It just seemed like that was, when you think of that era, the idea that, you know, Belichick's Patriots could stop Peyton Manning is one of the fun things about Bill being on the Manning cast. One of the great things you love, the little bit of jokery that goes back and forth when you got one brother that couldn't beat him and you got another one that beat him in the Super Bowl. So I kind of love that that kind of dialogue between them. But I'll be honest with you. It's extraordinary to me that they have, at this age, already met that much in the playoffs. And it's amazing to me that Mahomes and the Chiefs are 3-0, all those games at home, and they're just 1-4 during the regular season. So it tells you about the way that they operate. And this is obviously a chance for a three-peat. This is a fourth Super Bowl for them. I mean, there's a lot on the line, but I think Mahomes has already proven his greatness is a Hall of Famer. Allen's got to get there, and he's got to overcome this team to do it.
And Mully, to your point, I believe the last time these two teams got together in this situation, we had an absolutely epic contest. Bills at the Chiefs. The Bills converted a two-point conversion to take a lead, left a little bit of time on the clock. Chiefs and Mahomes march back down and score the game-winning field goal. I mean, you can only hope that we get that Sunday afternoon. So two great matchups, but it is cool. It's something cool to talk about, and this is, you know, something we've talked about. Is Patrick Mahomes the Michael Jordan of the AFC West, and is he going to keep guys down like Lamar Jackson and like Josh Allen for their entire careers? Is the only way those guys are going to not only get to the game or have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl is by transferring out of the AFC and moving over to the NFC.
He's the Michael Jordan of the NFL. He's a guy that now 3-5 and four and could be 4-6.
David. He's not. He is not the Michael Jordan of the NFL. This is the classic LeBron James Michael Jordan argument.
Because
he lost one.
David, he lost one. Jordan never lost one. There's the difference.
God, that is
he
so
lost it to the actual GOAT of the NFL.
He is the
His name is Tom
of
Brady.
Michael Jordan in the NFL right now.
Of the AFC.
Right now, of the
AFC.
NFL.
AFC.
What,
not
your time's
NFL.
Up. Mute his
oh,
mic.
Oh, wow. Hit the bell again. That's awesome.
What? Why is that such a
that
sticky
be,
point?
That should be a T-shirt.
We are
hit
so
the bell.
People are so hypersensitive to anything that might slight Michael Jordan in the most minuscule way. That wasn't even have anything to do with Michael Jordan. That's a descriptor. That's a label.
Facts.
Patrick Mahomes, take your facts. Get your facts straight if you want to get your facts. Talk about facts. Michael Jordan is not being insulted by calling Patrick Mahomes the Michael Jordan of the NFL. That is something that is a compliment. God, stop being so sensitive. Yeah, I'm not even answering the question now.
Oh, my God, David,
the ceiling is the roof.
Answer that question. We need to know. Look at that.
What time is it?
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
6:15, are you leaving?
AM or PM?
They got alcohol at Starbucks? As Sox Fest reconvenes for the first time since 2019, what is the organization's state of mind coming off a historically bad season? And knowing the message the Sox will hope to send this weekend to their fans in Bridgeport?
So Chris Guest is actually very excited about this season. Interviewed him on Thursday night on the Chicago Lead. Looking forward to talking to him again at 8:40. A little bit more expansive because they are stocked with young pitching, and their prospects are given very good reason to believe the future is bright. You look at MLB pipeline, we mentioned that the list of prospects this morning was released last night, I believe, and you have Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith at the top. You have Drew Thorpe and Jonathan Cannon on the way. They are coming off, you know, up and down seasons, but when you are the general manager of a franchise that has that much young pitching, you feel like you have a foundation to build on. And they can go nowhere but up. This should be a weekend where that is the emphasis. You've got a bright young manager in Will Venable who hasn't done anything to lose confidence in him. He hasn't done anything to gain it either except for be very bright and articulate and enthusiastic when he represents the Sox on a regular basis. You'll see more of that. But I think what happens this weekend is the Sox just begin the process of starting over philosophically on the field and moving on from this historically bad season and this sort of kind of breakthrough, this cloud of cynicism that seems to be covering this franchise. And you'll see less of that this weekend. You'll hear less of that moving forward, and that's tonight. This weekend is the beginning of that process.
I think you're right, David. It's a chance for the White Sox to hit the reset button, plus the fact that they're doing Sox Fest, a little bit different than in the past, but they're doing it for the first time since 2019. They've got the top two, right, the top two lefty pitching prospects in all of baseball. Those guys could be really exciting. And the news, they're going to camp working with the Major League club.
Yeah.
That I think is a piece of news that's worth talking about. And how cool is it going to be for Sox fans to get to see Mark Burley's going to be there? Mark Burley will be at Sox Fest this weekend, so that's something cool as well.
Yeah, that is good stuff all the way around. You know how I feel about Burley. And I was interested to hear that they're going to be in camp. Now, they're not going to make the Major League team. I think that would be rushing things. But we're seeing younger players around Major League Baseball. I was actually very interested in some of the, I think it was Baseball America just named their new 100. And I was listening to some of the podcasts connected to that, and they were talking about just different players that have moved quickly into the major leagues. And hopefully the White Sox have some of them, because I don't know. I'm happy about the future and all the hope and dreams. But I think they ought to maybe broadcast some Birmingham Barons games instead of the White Sox. Is that part of the plan at the network?
It's a good suggestion. I'll take that to management.
Now that Santos has moved up a level, maybe you want to see a game in Charlotte too. But I don't know how good the White Sox are going to be. It feels a lot like a year ago. It feels a lot like, I believe he said, that they basically have their team. There are still moves they can make. There are still players that are coming available. But this doesn't look like they've done. We had a great conversation with Will Venable, and he does seem like a very bright guy. But they didn't change everything, right? They brought in a couple of people in interesting positions.
They've got about four catchers.
On the Dominican.
Yeah.
Well, they got two really good catchers.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see one of them. But I'm just wondering, when your best player is the idea that Colson Montgomery can play shortstop, there's a lot to prove with that. You know, move the guy to third base.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I know it isn't.
I hope that doesn't happen.
But I'm just wondering, I don't even know who's going to be the opening day starter. I didn't know that a year ago, and they wound up getting a great performance and then trading a guy. So who is a homegrown player that you can ship out by the trade deadline or next year? That's the fun question for the White Sox.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Voice of Mark Grody's with you guys, talking Bears, talking Ben Johnson, 725. What do you think of Bob Nightingale's report that the Cubs are discussing a trade for Astros reliever, former closer, Ryan Pressly? Good move or not, given Pressly's isn't the same that he once was?
Oh, man. Are they going to negotiate with Colonel Tom? I always want a Pressly in the building. I think it's great. Spelled differently. But I think, you know, they need to spend some of that money they saved, right? Is this how you spend the Bellinger money? This is a $14 million price tag. You've got to get the player on board because he's got a no trade, a full no trade clause, which would have to be waived. And we don't know that he's willing to do so. He's 30. What is he? 35. He'll be 36, right? That's how life works. You get another year.
He's 35 opening day.
He is, but when is his birthday?
No, I'm sorry. He's 36.
Yeah, he's 36.
He's already 36.
Yeah, there you go. So you know, he's got some age on him. Are you just getting him for the year of the 14 mil? And where does that fit into the Bellinger savings?
Yeah, to your point, Molly, I am all shook up over this report from Bob Nightingale. He would be better than what the Cubs have on paper right now at the back end of the bullpen. He has the experience. The Tigers lit him up this past postseason. As you mentioned, I thought the same thing. Okay, there's your Bellinger money. That's kind of almost equal to what they were going to have to pay Bellinger this year. The question is, what we don't know, we do know there's the no trade, but what do the Astros want in return? How high of a Cubs prospect, a scratch-off ticket, are the Astros looking to get back? And I think until we know what the ask is, it's hard to know if you're all in on this.
Well, I can tell you, I'm not all in on this. Without knowing that, I think Josh Hader was their save guy last year, their closer in Houston. Ryan Pressly took a step back in terms of his role. He is 36 years old. Consider me largely underwhelmed by this development. And if they get him, great. He's a piece in the bullpen.
They need a closer, though, don't they? I don't look at
Ryan Pressly coming to Chicago and thinking you don't have concerns about the ninth inning. I look at Ryan Pressly coming to Chicago and thinking, okay, this is this year's version of Hector Neris, a guy that you think that might be better than he is. You still are missing a piece. He's not the ex Astro that I want in a Cub uniform on opening day. Give me Bregman.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
According to The Athletic, the Bucks from Milwaukee may be exploring the addition of a high-level veteran, with Zach LaVine emerging as a potential target. As much as the Bulls need to do something by the trade deadline, which is February the 6th, is trading Zach to a divisional rival like the Bucks smart, or at this point, does it really matter?
Here's what I fear. I fear that AK is going to be so intent on having to do something, and if this is the one thing left on his list that is feasible, that they're going to trade Zach LaVine to Milwaukee. And I don't think that's good for anybody. Certainly not the Bulls. They unload this contract and maybe they get worse, and that is by design. But do you really want to see him in the Buck uniform? So it's not good for Bulls fans. It's not good to see, you know, the team just up the road a little bit, get that much better, and he would make them better. And if you're Zach LaVine, I think you fear the deer because you're the third option up there. Do you really want to be the third option on a team that could be, you know, the best in the East if you join them? Maybe, maybe. I just don't know. I would think that if I'm Zach LaVine and you are open to this trade, you want to go to the Western Conference where it's a little bit more of a situation in Denver where he could might be the third option, but it's a lot different maybe feel there or other sort of situations. I don't love this idea, but I think that if you're Arturis Karnišovas, you are in your office every day, and as you get closer to the trade deadline, doing nothing might be worse than making a bad trade. I know that sounds maybe a little bit crazy, but as much attention has been paid to what the Bulls are going to do, and as much as he hasn't done much in terms of trading since he took over, that urgency might compel him to make a bad deal rather than no deal at all.
Something must be done by February 6th. The Bulls must pick a lane. I don't care what team Zach LaVine goes to. A little bit going back to the last question, what in the world would the Bulls get from the Bucks in return? You don't want they're not going to pick very high, so draft picks don't do a whole heck of a lot for me. Or is this strictly a salary dump?
The answer is yes. It would strictly be a salary dump, and we know those don't always work out. You know, I hate the idea of making a deal like that, but at the end of this question, or at this point, it doesn't matter. That is really what's going on here. We need the Bulls to do something. We need the Bulls to declare something. We need them to move on in some way. I think Zach LaVine is all-star level. He is a good player. He's had a really good start to the season. He's not a bad guy. But I also think that he doesn't want to be here any more than they want him here. And I think that they need to move him. It would pain me if it was to the, what did you call him, Dustin? The Bucks of Milwaukee. I don't know where else they'd be from. But the Bulls of Chicago need to make some kind of move. And the trade deadline is itching around the corner. And they got to make a declaration. The problem is, you know, if you're AK, You're fired if you don't make a move, and you could be fired if you do.
If you make the wrong move?
And that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like whatever they do is
going to
be bad.
That's what I fear.
Yeah, I agree with
making
you.
A deal just for the sake of making a deal because you haven't made any deals.
Yeah. It's bad. It's not good. It's scary. Mm. They're in a bad spot. All right. We've got the extra point. We'll get to that. And as David mentioned, there's going to be some
predictions
made about something.
Will the Michael Jordan of the NFL come out on top this weekend?
Now you're letting all the information out. We've gone too far. We've ruined the tease. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
NFL. Time's up. Mute his mic.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Who will win the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday? Coverage beginning here at The Score at 1. Can you correctly pick the two teams that will meet in the Super Bowl, which you can also hear right here on The Score? And can you add a score for each game, please? And thank you.
Well, thank you, Dustin. I think there's so much about the quarterback matchup. It's fascinating. It's historic and all those things between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And in the NFC, you've got the rookie sensation, Jaden Daniels, and the injured Jalen Hurts, who's just a guy that has nothing but win. And I understand that, and that's fine. I think you've got the situation of wide receivers. Not really a lot of star-studded wide receivers. We were talking during the break, Mully, how you look at the four teams, and the best wide receiver of the bunch is probably Terry McLaurin of the Commanders.
Yes.
He's got 13 touchdowns this year. He's had a great year. But you look at the Eagles, A.J. Brown's so neglected. He's reading books on the sidelines. You don't really look at the Chiefs of having that guy in the passing game. You look at the Bills, they don't really have that guy who is the go-to guy for Josh Allen. And so to me, it could come down to this is the weekend of the running back. The running back has had a great comeback this season in the NFL. You look at the way that Saquon Barkley has carried the Eagles. And I think when you look at the Bills, James Cook is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. He's very good. And so I think the Bills are going to run the football against the Chiefs defense that is very good and plays very solid this time of the year. And I think Saquon Barkley is going to make you not forget that Jalen Hurts is injured, but it's going to lessen the blow, and he's going to carry that team. So in the AFC, I have the Bills in an upset. I don't know, are they favored?
They're
maybe
favored,
not.
Yeah.
But I think America expects Patrick Mahomes back in the Super Bowl. They're used to these things. But I do think the Bills beat the Chiefs 27-24. And I think that the Eagles, on the strength of Saquon Barkley, who might need another 200 yards, and Jalen Carter, who's going to wreck that game and maybe snap Jaden Daniels in half if he can catch him, that's a very good defense, Vic Fangio. Congratulations again. And I think they're going to beat the Commanders 31-24.
I don't think as a fan you can go wrong. I think, you know, something that David and I do agree on are stories. And I think all these teams have really interesting stories. You know, running backs, rookies, going for the three-peat, Josh Allen trying to get to the game with the – there's all kinds of stories here. They're great. They're great storylines. I'm hoping as a fan for some really good competitive football games. I could see – potential blowouts in both games. I really could, but I'm going to pick the Commanders to pull this ultimate upset. This is what I want. I want that story. I want that to be something that the Bears can try to use as a blueprint, what the Commanders potentially could do on Sunday. I've got that game 24-21 in favor of the Commanders. And then I want to see the Chiefs go for the three-peat. I do. I want to see that storyline. I want to see that happen. Chiefs 30, Bills 27. So if the scores go that way, we should have two great contests on Sunday.
Yeah, I like those picks, guys. I think this is difficult because I think that I think Buffalo is probably the better team. They probably had a better season. The quarterback's probably playing better. But I got to take the Chiefs for the same reason, Dustin. I think there is a kind of I don't know how you would define it, a Michael Jordan-type quality that is possessed by Mahomes. He seems so competitive. I just don't know who's going to have a big game outside of the tight end, and that bothers me a little bit. And you're talking about it, David, but I'm going Chiefs 24-21, and I really think that I have kind of casually overlooked Washington far too much this year. I can't get it out of my head the way they beat the Bears, and that seemed like a turning point for both franchises. I'm going with the Eagles. I like the Eagles, and I'll go with that one. I'll go maybe 26-21. 27-23. Something in those. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
kind of a in the high 20s victory. Right. 26 or 27 to.
So you've got Eagles Chiefs?
22 to 24.
You've got Eagles Chiefs.
I got Eagles Chiefs all in right. The Super Bowl. I think that's the most attractive game.
I don't disagree. I think America would, as much as they would complain about seeing the Chiefs again, getting tired of that, we all do like to embrace, you know, dynasty-like performances. And if the Chiefs get there, they're on the verge of that. I still just think it's Josh Allen's time. James Cook will carry him. And that defense is
Cook's
sneaky
the problem.
Good.
Yeah,
Cook is a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think when you start listing backs, people's mind immediately goes top five back in the NFL. Is James Cook on many lists?
Well, I mean, is Isaiah Pacheco, is he even healthy? I just don't know what they have. But they have Mahomes, so I'm going.
They have Mahomes. Geez. And they have Kelce. Don't underestimate Kelce. He finds a way to get open.
And he's living the life, man. He's living the life people dream of.
Is that a lyric?
We should make a T-shirt. Texter checks in, says, I need to get a T-shirt that says, we should make a T-shirt.
You like the T-shirt theme.
Yeah.
You do. It's fine.
I'll try to stop that.
We should open up a side hustle. We should compete with obvious shirts.
What happened to our
less
bar?
Obvious
what
shirts.
What about the Hall House?
What were we going to do with that? I was
planning a sing-song.
Where did the funding go for Hall House? I need to find that. Somebody do something. Who cooked the books?
312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on this car. Haw House. Let's go. Haw House.
In the middle of our street.
Haw House.
In the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening.
I want to hear the song. You can't make me talk.
Where did that come? Where did that
Mully
come from?
And Haw. That's Hall House.
Okay. Got to get back on that plan.
You guys was talking about Hall House earlier.
Yeah, I know.
I was singing that song.
It's very good. So the catchy.
You didn't hear that.
That could be the backdrop at the theme.
Hall House.
There we go.
Located near right field. Hall House.
You want to put right field? What right field where? Sox Park?
There is a legendary story that apparently there was an insane asylum at the back of whatever, like wherever field it was on the west side where the Cubs played, and that you would occasionally, if you were playing on the outfield or if you were at a game, you would hear somebody yelling some stuff, and that's where the expression "that came out of left field" comes from.
Is that right?
That's apparently, you know, who knows?
But you just described it as right field.
I said right field.
So you think it's?
I didn't want to
came out of left field.
I thought it was the better position. When you looked at the diagram, I thought right field was the
preferred.
Well,
I'll say this. That story in this reference came out of left field.
There you go. But that is, I mean, don't you love stories like that? That is.
I do. I like don't to know. I don't know if it's true or an old wives' tale.
It could be an old wives' tale, but I've heard it, and I believe it was published in the New York Times, so I feel confident in repeating it.
I feel confident in your confidence if it's from the New York Times. I also think that when you talk about things that have an origin story, the term old wives' tale, some people refer to it as an old wives' tale.
Oh, wow.
But it's not, because you know the background, the old wives' tale.
Yeah.
Because it was what old wives would talk about. So it was
a lot of chit-chat over
that chit-chat. Okay. Chit-chat.
I like it.
That's the origin of that reference.
I like that. I find myself, you know, kind of obsessed with that sort of thing. I really love that.
Well,
like eavesdropping, right? That was because the houses were built with, and the criminals would hang over the edge and listen to the cops talking and try to figure out
eavesdropping. Yes. when you can really go down a rabbit hole when you start to think of phrases that we say or you hear people misspeak with. There are a lot of malaprops out there.
Oh, yes, there are.
And you hear them publicly, and people refer to things, and you're like, And if you're an English major, you might cringe every now and then.
Well, what's amusing about it is I think that that sort of malaprop reminds me of people that misinterpret lyrics, that hear something that really is not there. And if you hear it and it's in your head,
it's totally different.
Yes. It's hard to go back to whatever it was.
For all intents and purposes, I agree with you. Because sometimes you hear that said, for all intensive purposes.
Yeah, that's not right.
This sounds like a Bernstein segment, actually.
Yeah.
We're ruining the show. We are.
I agree
with
you.
Common ground that we have with Dan Bernstein when we're talking about these sort of things in the English language that get maybe abused or people cut corners.
That's good. I like that, David.
It's fun stuff.
I do. I really enjoy talking about stuff like that. And I also enjoy hearing like a good malapropism. Like, you know, if you're at a news conference and someone says something, it can be a blast.
Well, your favorite, I don't want to speak for you, but one of your favorites, let me say that, is when somebody combined the word dramatic and drastic and said dramastic.
Dramastic. I love that word. It's hysterical.
It's not a word.
I think Scottie Pippen. No, it's not a word.
Just for the record,
well,
it's not a word.
We don't need to do something dramastic.
Yes. Like,
I don't think you can do something
with
it's both drastic and full of drama.
No, definitely not.
But that is funny.
These are the fun things.
That's like Jordan one time. He said he said something about an scapegoat.
Yeah, right.
I fell down laughing because you think about like the guy, it's him. He stole her purse, and then he jumps on a goat.
There's a goat waiting outside the bank. They robbed the bank. They hopped on a goat and they started galloping away.
They got an
the galloping goat.
The galloping goat. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, we got to get to our.
We're going to reset. We got Ben Johnson at 9 o'clock.
You.
We have Chris Getz at 8:40.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Bears staff. We're going to talk about this weekend in the NFL. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 312-644-6767.
It's Molly and Haw on the Score.